May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So this is not an easy gospel lesson for us this week. Blessings and woes. And I have to admit, I wasn't completely sure what to do with it, or if I was even up to the task at hand. So bear with me. As Luke tells the story, Jesus spends the night up in the mountains praying before choosing the 12 apostles. He comes down from the mountain in the morning to find a great and vast gathering waiting for him, multitudes of people coming from everywhere, all of Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon, all coming to hear Jesus teach and to be healed of their diseases and unclean spirits. The people were crowding in to touch him, power literally pouring out of him, and all were healed. Jesus stands on a level place with the crowds gathered around him, and he tells his would-be disciples exactly what discipleship looks like. Blessings on the poor, the hungry, the reviled, woes to the rich, the satisfied, and the comfortable. This is not comfortable Sunday Christianity. This is raw and terse. This is a world turned upside down. It's a reordering of priorities and privilege that the church will find awkward and troubling for centuries to come. The inclination has always been to domesticate the message, gloss over it, to make it more comfortable for us. In the Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov, the story of the Grand Inquisitor is found. The scene is set in Seville at the height of the Inquisition. Bonfires burn to glorify God and to burn the wicked heretics. Jesus comes again and he moves among the people with his healing and his life-giving power. He's arrested by the Grand Inquisitor, who tells Jesus, "You're no longer needed. The message of Jesus has been contained, and it's been civilized, and it's been sanitized. The message comfortable and comforting." And we forget the power of God in our world and in our lives. And in today's lesson, we realize once again that God is breaking down the doors, and he's opening the windows, and he's knocking down the walls that we have put up to maintain the status quo. God is reordering the kingdoms of this world. Jesus stands at a level place with the people right there in the midst with them, and he proclaims the good news. God is turning the world upside down. There's a curious moment in this gospel lesson where it says, Jesus looked up at his disciples. So were the disciples standing above the masses of people? Were they keeping themselves apart? Were they pretending not to see the suffering people? Was Jesus reminding the disciples and us that we are not to hold ourselves apart from the suffering of this world, the poor, the reviled, the starving, the grieving, the shamed, those that the world has deemed expendable or of little value? God sees them and he loves them even when absolutely no one else does. They are blessed by God. The Beatitudes can be summed up this way, according to one author: blessed are the upside down. And she's probably right. These words speak not about a world as you and I see it from our place, standing above the crowd, looking down, well-fed, with a little money in the bank, and a roof over our head. But from the bottom, looking up, Jesus promises a world turned upside down, the poor lifted up, the mighty cast down, the captives released, and the reviled blessed by God. In Luke, Jesus is also clear that our place, looking down on the crowd, insulated by our wealth and our privilege, that is the real danger. That is what is separating us from God and from God's community. When I was in Haiti after the earthquake, I drove high up into the hills of the devastated city where the wealthy lived behind high walls with sturdy gates, only to see that their homes were in rubble, with the occasional spiral staircase freestanding in the middle of the destruction. And the curious thing, that while their homes were destroyed, the walls that were built to protect them from whatever it was they were afraid of were intact and still standing. We spend so much time protecting ourselves from the other that we forget that we are all members of God's family. We're all created in his image. So Jesus' Sermon on the Plain is a wake-up call to all of us, a call to action, a call to a life of discipleship, a discipleship that is far beyond the simple message of follow me, but a message of what it means to follow. Putting our whole trust in God above every system and every loyalty. And I don't know about you, but I find that frightening. And I find it a bit daunting. We don't get God's blessings just for showing up. God doesn't bless us as we bathe in our respectability in the eyes of the world, standing above the crowds. So we don't need to get involved or even see what is happening in the world around us. We live in a world where walls are being built to protect us and borders are being closed to keep others out. Children are being separated from their families with little chance of being reunited. Desperate people gathering at border, fleeing in fear for their lives and their children's lives. Those in this diocese who travel to the border on a regular basis to care for the immigrants see that suffering and grief that is real and immediate. And we know that right here in Phoenix, there are people who are hungry, who are alone or ill with little or no resources to help. And no matter how we voted or what our socioeconomic status is, we know that this is not how God works. The theologian Frederick Buechner writes this about Jesus' upside-down kingdom. The world says, mind your own business. And Jesus says, there is no such thing as your own business. The world says, follow the wisest course and be a success. And Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully. The life you save may be your own. And Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. And Jesus says, love. The world says, get. And Jesus says, give. In worldly terms, Jesus is absolutely and totally crazy. And anyone who thinks that they can follow him and not be a little bit crazy too is sadly mistaken. We live in the kingdoms of this world, but we keep trying to convince ourselves that we are doing it for the sake of the kingdom of God. Our hearts and our minds will trick us into believing that we either have earned everything we have on our own strength or merits, that we are complete as we are and have no need of God, or that God's grace is just too good to be true. But Luke is telling us that the kingdom of God is the great upside down, turning the world on its head, a new order, a reversal of the way things are to the way things ought to be. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and he stands on a level plain with you, with me, and he stands with multitudes, healing us and loving us. We are called to hear both the blessings and the woes, hearing the promises and the warnings. Today's gospel is not a promise of prosperity, of health, or wealth, or happiness. This is a teaching that is costly and soul-rattling, and we would rather not hear it or even think about it. Jesus stood in the crowd, and the power came out of him, the power of God among the people of God, showing the disciples and us what the kingdom of God will look like if we choose to listen and if we choose not to look away. We worship a God who is not content to look down on us from way up high in heaven, far away. And we follow Jesus, who came down from the mountain and stood there with the multitudes, stood there right with those in the deepest pain and with those who have absolutely nothing left. And he looks up at us, his disciples, and he invites us to join him there, right where God is. And that is a blessing. Amen.